What's up, folks? This is Victor Cruz with the Victor Cruz Acting Studio Podcast. Today is a very special day because I get a chance to sit down with someone that I respect a great deal in the casting world. She's responsible for the casting of the films and TV shows such as The Grudge 2020, The Sinner, The Happening, the new show on Apple TV now going into season 2, The Servant by M. Night Shyamalan. Also, films such as Madeline's Madeline, The Kindergarten Teacher, which, by the way, she won 2 Artios Awards for. Please welcome to the Victor Cruz Acting Studio Podcast, from Holbrook Casting, Casting Director Stephanie Holbrook. Little applause. Little applause. You know why I throw the applause in? Because you help to make people big stars. You're part of that process, and I don't know how much you get in applause. I mean, you got the awards, and that's very special.
That is special.
But, well, first off, folks need to know, I've known you for a long time now, and one of the things that I find very special about you is that you are very kind, very humble individual. Whenever I come to your office to audition for something, I always feel like I'm at home. It's warm, and I always want to be ready and prepared for you. I never want to not be ready.
Thank you for the kind words.
Yes, of course, of course. So, Stephanie, before we get into it, because folks may just be logging on, and we'll kick it off with one of these questions, but then we're going to get into your story, okay? What are the ingredients of a great audition?
For me, preparation is key. I never expect an actor to be completely off book the first call. I do expect the actor to be familiar with material and not kind of losing the place and, you know, and referring back to the page too much. But I do like a spontaneous audition, so for me it doesn't need to be memorized. But the preparation is key. First of all, so that you're not nervous because you're not prepared.
Right.
You're just nervous because it's a really, you know, tense and stressful situation.
Sure.
And also just that you can play a little bit more when you're really familiar with the material. If I, for some reason, haven't read you before and I want to see if you can take direction and stuff, if you're familiar with the material, it's easier for you to kind of jump in and take notes and change direction.
Gotcha.
The other thing is, on the negative side, is too many questions. Mm. I think a lot of people come into auditions and they haven't gotten the script. They haven't, they have no idea what this is all about. It's a new show maybe. And it's really your job to find the truth for yourself in that scene. I may not be able to give you too much information in the room. And I find what happens is when people ask questions, they tend to start either beating themselves up for having, quote, the wrong answer, which never happens, or they're processing the information before they do their first take. So I'm not really sure what's happening in the scene sometimes. So if you make your choices and you create that story and you answer those questions for yourself, then if you're really right for the part, then you have an opportunity to take a note and change direction for the next scene with more information.
Right, right. You know, a lot of times when I go into the room, casting director will ask me, do you have any questions?
Right, right.
And what I usually try to do, and I also try to encourage my students, is to, when you're working on the material, make a decision as to what you want to do, or what you think the character wants to do. Make a decision and make a confident decision.
Yeah.
So when you walk into the room, at least for me, casting director says, do you have any questions? And I say, I'm going to give it a shot.
Yes.
But if I'm 2 miles down the road, just bring me back.
Yeah.
That's what I always
say.
Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, there are going to be some questions like, you know, how well do these people know each other or something like that, that'll right. really help you. Or, but in terms of like storyline and what happened in the scene before and what, you know, it, when it gets too elaborate, you know, that's the problem.
Gotcha. I find that, I remember in the beginning, I would ask a lot of questions because this is kind of a new thing for you. And they tell you in school, ask questions. And especially coming from theater training, you do a lot of table work and you're asking so many questions.
Right.
So when you come in, the danger, and I don't want to call it the danger, but it's kind of sort of the temptation of wanting to treat it like table work and ask 1,000 questions. And then not being able to really process that, or like you said, letting all this information affect maybe the choices you even brought into the room?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, of course, you need to prepare yourself as well as you can, you know, before you start the scene. But I just think that sometimes there's too much trying to analyze the scene before you actually do the scene. And we all know that the scene may not end up in the actual show. And we're just trying to get an idea of whether you can bring this character to life in an authentic way. We're not going to take points away if you went in a direction that was not what the character, because if you don't know, we know that you don't know. We know that you haven't gotten the material. So we'll give you the information that you need.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So you come for the callback. Let's say you get the call back and you come for that. What do you expect from the actor now?
Now I expect you to be off book. And I expect you to not completely change it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we have notes for you and adjustments that, you know, things that you might want to shift or change, or that the filmmakers have asked us to communicate with you, we will do that.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, come on back in, ready to play, ready to take notes in the room.
Gotcha.
But basically on the same page as you were the first time you came in. Yeah.
That's awesome. All right, actors, you heard it. Come prepared. Even for that first one, I always encourage people, come prepared as you can be. But as Stephanie said, she doesn't mind you have the script. Just be familiar. And I think if you absolutely have a question about something, you need to know. Those are probably the best questions to ask.
Yes, and I think that, you know, I look at this, when you come in the room, I look at this as your time. This is part of your job, is the audition. It's not working, you know, because we all know that a lot of times you're just going in for auditions and you're not booking.
Yeah.
This is part of the work, and you need to take control of that in every way. So by being prepared, you're in control. But in the room, if you start and you're like, wait a second, this was not what I wanted to do. This is not what I prepared, and it's not the direction that I want to go. Then you say, I'm starting over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you take control of those moments. And it's not to say that you get 3/4 of the way through the scene and then say, can I start over? It's when you get out of the gate on the wrong foot. But what I'm trying to say here is that it's your time. You know, you're there, and we want you there, and we want you to do a really good job. So if you have gotten off on the wrong foot, take that control back, take a deep breath, and move forward.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that, taking your control back. Because one thing I always share with my students is I tell them, don't let fear steal the spotlight.
Yeah.
You know, and also when you go in the room, whatever you planned to do when you walk in, don't shift your choices, because it's so weird from the actor side, and I'm guilty of this, which is why I even share with them, is I'd go into the room, I'd see the casting director, I'd see the camera, I'd see the room, and suddenly, in my mind, I would tell myself, oh, they don't want the choices I'm going to offer, so let me shift it. Let me do something different that I think.
Well, you second-guessed yourself,
and
right?
second-guessed myself, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the good thing about being prepared is that your muscle memory is going to come. If you're delivering what you prepared. And that's not to say that you have to be...
I know what you mean, like on autopilot.
On autopilot. I mean, you've created the story in your mind of what's going on.
Right.
You've been, you're confident in your choice. So your muscle memory is going to help you through it, you know, to get you out of the gate. So if you're not prepared and you're just flying by the seat of your pants, forget about it. But if you're also second guessing yourself and shifting, then that is going to come across as, it's just not going to be feel authentic. And if I don't know your work super well, or I haven't had you in the room a lot, you could be a really fantastic actor, but I'm not understanding what's happening because you're processing, you're not in the moment because you're doing something that you didn't prepare, or you're, so to go back to the preparation versus nerves, you just don't want to be in a situation, that part of that control that you have and that power that you have is to know the material and to go in there confident that you, if you lose your place, you're like, oh yeah, I know exactly where I am and I'm gonna go back.
Right.
And also I think people beat themselves up if they take pauses to find their way.
Yeah.
And that's much better than kind of being like, oh, I'm sorry, or oh shoot, or oh, can I start over? it's really okay if you don't make it all the way through. This isn't, you're not shooting the scene, you're auditioning.
That's a great thing that you say, because sometimes that does happen and you are connected. And because you become so connected, you know, emotionally in the scene, you could suddenly lose your place in the script, but you're still in it. Mm-hmm. And then you say, okay, got it. And then you keep moving forward and you might leave and you might say, ugh, I don't know. I don't know if the pacing was right. Mm-hmm. But it's nice and refreshing to hear that. No, we're not shooting it, right. But it's way better than just stopping and saying, can we do it over?
Absolutely. And we will stop you, or we will have you do it again.
Yeah.
And say, let's just smooth it out, you know, or we'll take the air out of it or whatever. And so then we'll give you another chance. If we think you can book it, right. No doubt, we're going to give you that chance. If you had like a beat in the middle, and sometimes it's a really emotional scene and you've really delivered on the emotion, excuse me. But you had a pause. And mm-hmm. We'll just keep that take.
Gotcha. No, it's okay. This is all authentic truth, as you were saying. Yeah. This also is like part of that process too. This is really great. I mean, this is really nice to hear. And I think it's be comforting for some actors who work really hard and they think that because there's a moment or, you know, they have to reconnect with the script, but they don't break out of it, that that they're good. And also, I think more importantly, we should trust the casting director that you're the one watching it. Mm-hmm. You're outside of us. Mm-hmm. So if you say, this is good, mm-hmm. thank you. Because I think there are two different types of thank yous. Is the thank you of like, okay, thank you, you didn't quite prepare, thanks, or okay, have a great day. And then there's like, thank you, that was great. And I've had some good, I've had amazing moments in your room. And I remember there was one time, I think I didn't have a lot of time to spend with the material. It might've been like a last minute thing. And
which they often are.
And I came in and you guys knew that I was really trying to work it. And you said, listen, go outside. No rush. We want you to be able to do your thing. Mm-hmm. And you gave me the time and I said, thank you. And I took the time, came back and did my thing. And I was very grateful. It's not to say that you'll always have that opportunity, because it just depends on schedule and location. I know sometimes casting directors are renting a space for a certain amount of time, or they have right. the space for a certain amount of time. So I'm sure this is, and I want to get into your story for a second, because one, I'd like to know, how long have you been doing this now?
Well, I'll tell you that in a second, but I want to go back.
You want to get back into this, right?
I want to get back to
this. Yeah, no problem.
The reason that we did that is because you had previously consistently been professional, we knew you'd, we'd seen you in the room mm-hmm. being professional, prepared yeah. on time, all those things. So it just means like get in the habit of that. And that gives you that chance.
Right.
But aside from that, if we had never laid eyes on you before and we thought you were really right for the role, we want to cast it right with the right person. So sure. we want to give you that time if we can. And yeah, you're right. We don't always have that luxury. And for a callback, we would not have that luxury.
Yeah.
But we do want, we want to cast it, you know, and if you're really right for it, we want to give you a chance to be good. So
I appreciate that. It means the world to me. I really have a chance to have like a post discussion on some of these moments with casting directors, though I'm very friendly with a lot. And I love talking with folks on your side of things, because it's just very insightful. And I think I have a huge compassion for what you do. I mean, I wear many different hats. Sometimes I've been the casting director for my own projects
right.
and just trying to manage it all and keeping track of time. And how important is the schedule thing? You know, I was just mentioning that before. Does it drive you crazy when sometimes actors have to shift times, but you kind of yeah. at least know that in advance, you
right,
know,
right.
actor might be a parent. They have to pick up their kid, shift things around. But if an actor shows up late, talk to me about the differences in the two and how you manage that.
There's a reason that we give you certain times. There's a really, sometimes, especially with a callback, there's a real art to the order in which people go and everything. Sometimes it's the roles. So you want to mix up, you know that the director likes, he or she likes to see the roles all mixed up, or they want to see all one role together, all the next role together. So if you show up in the middle of the other, you know, section of time, you've kind of screwed us up in that situation. The other thing is, there is a rhythm to it, and we separate out people so that we can generally not run over. I know sometimes it's, you know, especially if you're in a callback situation and the filmmakers want to work with people for a long time,
sure,
that can really set you back. But if you show up at the wrong time, you can really like screw things up. And frankly, like we sometimes, if we're in sessions constantly, and as you know, casting people, just like you guys, can be working on multiple projects, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
So we're cramming in a bunch of sessions. Maybe we have a doctor's appointment that we have to get to ourselves. There's a personal thing.
That's
like,
true.
You can only have the lunch hour, and then somebody shows up. We want to see that person, you know? And so it's really good to show up at your time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just do that. And try not to show up between 1 and 2 just willy-nilly, because that's lunch hour. And if the other part of that is, if we're in session all day, maybe we have like, we have an hour to eat our lunch and return all of the phone calls and emails that we've gotten that morning.
You're probably working and eating at the same time.
You are.
And barely eating. Your food is getting cold.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. I'm sure you've come in and I've had my lunch, like my,
I'm sure,
in the bag.
I'm sure. And I'm getting hungry too. You're probably hungry now. Let me know if you get hungry. We can take a pause.
Bagel in the bag. Okay.
See, you're working and eating at the same time. Talk to me about habits in the audition room. What should the actor be doing in the audition room? What should they not be doing?
We already talked about the question part. I think that what we should not do is warm up, mm-hmm, in the room. The warm up needs to take place outside in the waiting room.
Right.
Of course, if it's an emotional scene, if it's going to require, you know, intensity of, that you can't just like, you know, as a human, just like jump, mm-hmm, into, we're going to give you that time. You know, we'll give you a moment.
Sure.
And you let us know when you're ready. But in terms of like coming in and going to the corner and doing your breathing exercises and your,
also actors are actually going into the room. They're doing a full warm up, or at least attempting to,
yes,
and then getting into the scene.
Yes. Not my fave.
I hear you. No criticism on you guys. This is just good information so that it encourages you to do your warm up outside. So when you come in, you're ready to rock. So
yes.
Again, no criticism to you. Just again, this is all enlightening information, right. But I find that hilarious. Like, all right, give me, I'm going to need about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Warm up.
No, usually not that bad, though. Be surprised.
But it feels like 15 minutes. Yeah, no.
Well, you know, you've got a room full of
other actors, sure.
And you're like, ooh, you know.
But
what are the other cautionary tales? There's one story I remember where someone came in for an audition. He was it. And we, mm-hmm, he was the guy. We brought in a couple more just to have backups, because you always have to have backups, because,
mm-hmm,
actors are, you know, booking other things. And
sure.
So it was like no question he was going to book it. But then he comes in for the director for the callback, and the director gives him a note. And the director happened to have written the episode, mm-hmm, of the show. And the actor said, oh, no, 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 it's clear right here in the words that I had made the right choice. And the director looked at me like, question.
What is he talking about? What is she talking about?
Yeah. So don't do that.
Right.
You know, just openness, willingness to take a note and play. And, you know, keep in mind, for a first call, we may give you a direction that is not what you're going to hear on set.
Sure.
But we want to know that if you are given a direction on set, you'll be able to do it.
So the idea is to be flexible,
mm-hmm,
especially if you've worked on material, you walk in, you don't know who's written the episode. You don't know if the writer's in the room. You don't know if the director's the writer, but be flexible, because they may throw anything at you. Just right. Be open to it. Do you find that there's a danger in locking yourself into exactly what the script is?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a good exercise to kind of just run the lines every which way, but then pick your real your story for,
mm-hmm,
it, and be confident in that. But just to, again, the muscle memory, just to like let go of what you've set. And I think, you know, part of the reason that I don't always expect someone to be memorized the first time they come in is that sometimes people memorize the scene in a certain way, and when you have them do it again, they have the emphasis on the same syllables, and that's how they know the scene. And they don't know the scene because of the story or the words.
Understand.
It's more about how it's been memorized. So
sure.
Let that go for sure.
That's another kind of muscle memory that doesn't necessarily always work for you.
Right.
So again, good to be flexible.
Yeah.
Now on the first audition, I know there are some actors that have trouble memorizing or just different processes, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if an actor comes in with the script, they're very familiar, but they need to look at the script. Talk to me about when their eyes can look down at the script, when you can lift your eyes up again to look at the actor. If the other actor says a line, do you hear that line, then look down at your line, and then give it? How does it work? Or how could it work?
I don't know if it's an exact science.
Mm-hmm. Or at least, what do you prefer?
I love watching actors listen. So while the reader is saying his or her lines, don't get lost in your script and follow along until your next line. Remember what's happening in the scene, and part of this, the audition experience, is connecting with who you're reading with. So I think that there are certain opportunities that you find in the material where you can say, this is a place where I really need to be connected with that reader. Mm-hmm. And so those are deliberate choices that you should make. And for me, it always works best if you are looking up at the reader in the last line. You cannot end on the page.
On the page.
Yeah. It's so much better if we're left that last moment with you connecting with the reader.
Connecting with the
in
reader.
My mind.
What about at the top of the scene too? Do you find like sort of bookended with the same idea? Because I've heard some casting directors say, if you don't know all the lines, if you could have the first line solid, the last line solid, so you start strong, you end strong.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that, you're drawn in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not drawn in if you're just looking at someone looking at their sides. You're more drawn in if you're, and it's also just like a confidence thing. It's like, oh yeah, I know what this is about. I'm going to jump into the scene. So absolutely. Yeah,
gotcha.
But you definitely take those opportunities and find them yourself, where you really need to be connecting with your reader.
That's awesome. I think that's going to be super helpful for a lot of folks, because that's a question people ask all the time. Like,
okay,
I have trouble with memorizing. Like, what can I do to sort of help that? And I really appreciate that answer. What happens when... let's move on to something else here, right? Now, it's funny, I had a very good question, and it's going to come back to me. But
okay.
In the meantime, actors who want to connect with you, they don't have an agent, they don't have a manager, they're trying to get themselves out there. I get this question all the time. There was a time when actors would send headshots, resumes, hard copies to the mail. You sent everything out there, and you'd see who'd grab, and say, okay, I'll give this guy a call or this girl a call or whomever. How do folks reach out to you, whether it's just to say, hey, I'm an actor, I exist, this is what I do, or there's an audition happening and they want in, but they have no representation? How does it work for you?
Well, it depends on the role. It depends on the project. I do use Actors Access for projects, and I am one who really appreciates having those live slates, little clips or whatever, because if I don't know you and I'm able to watch something, it can bring you to life in a way that it wouldn't with just your headshot.
And what's a live slate? Maybe a lot of folks don't know what
that
is.
That's what it's called. I think something like that. But basically, it's just like an introduction to yourself. Sometimes people are telling a short story about themselves or a joke or introducing themselves in some way. And other times it's clips of things that they've done.
Gotcha.
And for me, that can be something from a class. That can be... I'd prefer it not be a monologue as much. I think that sometimes just, having a reader, and for my purposes and what I work on, screen stuff, it's better in a scene situation.
So doing a scene situation is better than a monologue.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I think so. Something that brings you to life in some way, so that I can see your headshot and then see how you come to life, and I can go, they seem to have the energy that fits this character I'm casting, or something like that.
That's great. And, you know, once actors are actually working, you know, this is another scenario. Actors who are working, they've got shows coming up, they got things that they're in. What's the best way to let you know that they're doing them so that it's not overwhelming, but this is a practice that you prefer? I mean, I'm sure every casting director has their own, you know, because I'm sure people send you things all the time.
They do.
And so what do you like?
I don't mind postcards. I know a lot of people do. I look at them, and I like to see when people are booking. I like to see if people are in shows. But unsolicited, just, you know, this is me and this is what I'm doing and I've never met you before. That's not really helpful.
Gotcha.
If I've brought you in to read and you've been getting a bunch of callbacks or you tested for something, you know, I would say never send, I'm going to speak for all casting directors.
Sure.
No, but can't do that. But
well, it's probably a common thing, and I'm sure you have conversations with other casting directors that are friends of yours, and you probably laugh and joke about the same things or have similar observations.
Well, it's actually more of like frustration because we don't want people to waste their money and time.
Got it.
Just sending out pictures and pictures and resumes for projects where we're not looking for... you are not anywhere near what we're looking for in the breakdown. So a lot of times we'll get unsolicited submissions. I hear you're working on this show.
Gotcha.
If I'm right for a part. And that's just a waste of paper if you're not right for it. And the chances that you are, based on what I've seen, you know, come in, it's unless you actually know what you're submitting for, it's a waste of time. So if you put the subject, you know, the project, and you have a specific role that you do feel that you're right for, then absolutely submit yourself. I don't know, you know, I don't mind emails, and it's such a great time to be an actor because you can send emails out. I'm not going to give my email right now.
No. But, I have your email, but I'm not going to give it out to anyone. Well, that's because we're friends.
If you have an office email for us, you know, it's such a nice time for actors because you can send.
Connect directly.
And you're not wasting paper. You're not wasting a lot of time. You're not wasting stamps and all that stuff, money, sending stuff out. And I can quickly say, yes, you're absolutely great for this, or not this one, and just either delete or, you know, move you to a file that says reader or something that you've offered up your reader services or whatever the case may be. But it's hard though if you're not represented. I know that. But I do think there are enough projects that are posted on Actors Access or Backstage or other places where you can start, you can work and you can start building those credits.
Sure. And the thing about it too is I think a lot of folks are not patient with their journeys as actors, especially when they're just starting. I know for me, when I first started, I picked up Backstage and it was a newspaper at the time. And Show Business was another newspaper. Do you remember that?
I remember Show Business.
Or Showtime. No, not Showtime. It was like Show Business or something. It was another newspaper just like Backstage. And I just took the steps, you know. I just put myself out there. I started doing background, and that eventually I met somebody and they represented me. And I just took the steps. I never try to, I don't know, cheat or jump ahead or complain about it as much. You know, I just said, oh, well, I guess this is what I'm supposed to do. And every step of the way, I was extremely grateful. Mm-hmm. Even being background, my very first thing ever, just being on set was so exciting to learn and see. And I think it's such a great thing to do. So sometimes I meet people that are in a rush. They're in a rush and they're like, you don't understand. I'm 22 and I live with my mom. And something's got to happen, you know, it's like.
Well, we talked before we started, I think, a little bit about school and what they don't teach you in school. And I think that's, you know, a lot of people come out of these great acting programs are completely unprepared for what they're going to face because you're in a situation in school where you're sort of in a bubble, a safe bubble. Mm-hmm. You know, your professors know you, the directors of the plays know you and know your work, and you are cast very easily and you're constantly working. And you come out to start auditioning, and it's like, oh my God, I gotta get something. And it's really, you know, the audition process is really part of the work, and it's a major part of your job as an actor. And every time you go in, you're planting a seed. And I have cast people that I hadn't booked in years, but I've read for many years, and I finally cast them. There's a guy in the latest season of The Sinner, Eddie Martinez, who I think he was in a class that I did, like a workshop many years ago, like maybe right when I was moving to New York from LA. And he, you know, he was kind of green, and but there was something about him, and he ended up moving soon after to LA. And then recently I was working on a small indie, and I was soliciting self-tapes from LA because they didn't have enough money to fly me out or to hire a casting director in LA. And he submitted a self-tape, and I was like, oh my God, this guy, he's so familiar. And he was excellent, and he ended up booking the indie. And then when I read the script for The Sinner, the series regular, there was a series regular role, and I'm like, Eddie! And so, but I'm telling you, because I knew, I met him so many years ago, and it was, you know, it was a class, and we parted ways, and he went to a different coast. And, but what I'm trying to say here is that it's a long, what do they say? It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah, it's right. That's right. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon.
And
that's
it's really true. And I have found that so much too in my career that, you know, just it's a business of relationships. And if you come in a professional way and you deliver the goods and you've made a good choice and interesting, I'll bring him back, and you build those relationships. And just like, you know, you and I, you know, we've crossed paths many times in the room because, you know, and so it's just, you're planting seeds along the way. And not only that, you're working, you're flexing your muscles. You're studying a scene. You're bringing it to life. You're finding a truth in it. You're acting. Even if it's for 2 minutes, even if it's one line, and that one line can get you your SAG card, and that gets you.
That's right.
You know, you get on set and they really like you, and we'll give them another line. Or you come in to audition for something 3 years down the line, you've got a few more credits under your belt, the filmmaker remembers you. Yeah. It was like, oh yeah, Victor was great. That, you know, so, patience.
Must be so exciting for you when, you know, because I'm sure along the way you'll know actors for a long time, just like, you know, I've known you for a certain amount of years, and when they finally land, you know, a project or a big project that changes their life, I'm sure that must blow your mind and just feel so good, because and especially if you're part of the reason, like, you're casting that project.
Oh, well, yeah.
And it's them.
Yeah.
You know, what does that do for you?
A lot of times, I think for me, what's been really great, I mean, I've done so much independent film. When I moved to New York, I was really exclusively focused on film. I started working with Douglas Abel, as his associate, and went out on my own ultimately. But, you know, it's been so great to work on indies and give people a chance to have roles in independent film that maybe get seen at a festival, and then they get, you know, they do get those bigger roles, and they do.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I have a few people that I follow that I follow their careers, and I kind of smile to myself, you know, remembering the early days. So it is fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Where are you from originally?
I'm from San Francisco.
Okay.
Yes. And I got my start at Nancy Hayes Casting in San Francisco. Background extras, set coordinating in the 90s on all those, like Mrs. Doubtfire was my first movie.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
I was a baby. But I, you know, helped with the extras on that, and ultimately worked on a film that took me down to L.A., and so I moved to L.A., was there for 5 years.
Okay.
And I've been here since, you know, I came out in 01, went back after September 11th for a few months.
Okay.
Got my bearings, got a job working for Mikey Halloran at CW, which was then UPN.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like the last year it was UPN before it turned into the CW. But that was my first gig in New York, and I stayed.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. Amazing.
It's been a while.
do you love to do it?
I love it. I really do. You know, it's always different. always joke that my husband would say, I'm like, you know, I like the, I like thrive on the chaos of it. But, you know, the relationship management, you get to work with every different kind of person, creative people are inspiring. You have the challenge of dealing with time limitations and money limitations, you know, budget. You've got the producers who are, you know, concerned with budget and as well as the creative. And then you get to the joy of being in the room with actors. And for some of us who dreamed once upon a time of doing what you do.
So you wanted to be an actor in the beginning.
I did. And I didn't know casting existed. I found out very quickly, seeing myself on camera at one point very early on, that
I wasn't as passionate.
Well, I just wasn't as brave, honestly. And I think I knew then that to be really good, you have to really kind of show your, bare your soul, you know? Even in things that don't seem like they would, you would have to bare your soul. You're telling us about yourself in some way, and you're sharing yourself when you do a scene. And I was not prepared to do that at a young age. And I just wasn't brave enough. And I was very limited. I was one of those that did every, you know, theater camp and all the plays. And I was a dancer, and I was limited though. I was kind of like, what do you call it? When typecasting myself at a young age in a weird way. And I couldn't branch out from that, I don't think. Not to dwell on that, but because I quickly found that there were other amazing
other
ways
that
I could
contribute to the same.
I can contribute
love.
and I can be around it. And it's been a really, really great ride. It's hard as it is for you guys in terms of the ups and downs, the periods of time where you're not working, where you're like, I'm never going to work again. And then you're like, oh my God, I'm going to kill myself because I'm so busy. I don't know what to do. I don't know what my husband and kids look like anymore.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel sometimes. And remember, there was a time I was looking out the window and I was just like, when's this going to happen for me? When is it going to change? And then I looked up and I saw a star and I tried to wish upon it. Then I realized it was a plane and then it started moving. But I wished on it anyways.
Good for you.
So if I were to ever want to cast you in a film one day, would you partake?
You would not want me in your film, let me tell you.
We'll see. We have to go soon, but before we do wrap, I wanted to know if there was any last words of advice that you could give actors, something to think about, especially going into the new year 2020, how they should prepare themselves, or anything you felt like you didn't get a chance to share but you'd love for them to know.
I would say find the work. And there is work in New York, and keep working as much as you can. And that means short films. That means student films. There are some amazing filmmakers in school right now that are going to be the future big, gigantic, you know, geniuses of film. And do small theater, do great little black box theaters, you know, shows. Just get out there and work, because work begets work. And we do go see things. And New York is amazing in that way. There's always a way to collaborate. It's the beauty of being in New York. It's just, you can do everything here. And especially now, you can do, and there's so much content. It's a really great opportunity right now to be an actor in New York. So my point is just keep looking for work, and get on sets. Take those jobs that aren't flashy, but feed your soul.
Sure.
And keep flexing those muscles, and work will come.
That's awesome, well, Stephanie. Thank you so much for coming here and doing the show. You're officially our first casting director on the podcast.
I'm honored.
The purpose of this podcast is to not only educate, but also to inspire and to encourage actors that there are other ways in which they can get their journeys going. So you just don't have to sit and wait for the phone to ring, but there are some things you can do and be active to continue working that muscle. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. folks. This was another episode of the Victor Cruz Acting Studio Podcast. If you love this show, please subscribe to our channel. Share this show with your friends and family, anybody in the who's in the acting business that needs some sort of encouragement or inspiration. Stay with us. Keep watching us. We'll see you real soon.